It's April in Louisiana, and that means turkey season is in effect. In tonight's episode, I brought in one of the most eat-up-with-it turkey hunters that I know, Mr. Buddy Hollis from West Sterlington. Now, that's going to be on the Union Fair side of the bridge. Now, Buddy's killed 98 longbeards and has a special goal this season that we're going to talk about at the end of the podcast. I hope you guys like this one as much as I do. Now, we're just going to talk about turkey stories, okay?
That's right.
It's just me and you talking.
Okay.
Okay, so with Buddy Hollis from Sterlington, Louisiana. Now, Mr. Buddy, when I was looking for somebody to talk to about turkey hunting, all I want some turkey stories, your name come up. Chris Mike said, man, you need to get with Buddy Hollis. And after I talked with you just a few minutes, I knew that you was the one I wanted to come on.
Okay.
So give us a quick introduction. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay. I've my 83rd birthday will be May the 19th, and Kansas turkey season opened, and I plan to go to Kansas and attempt to kill a turkey on my 83rd birthday with a 410 CVA.
Yeah.
This year. But I was born in Loran, Louisiana. We moved here when I was 2, and my house is a little bit northwest of here, my old home place, on this same, not on the same property. I bought this about 6.5 acres in 72, but I've been here 81, almost 81 years living on this.
On
right
the same?
Right here at this vicinity, yes.
My stars mighty. Now, back in, did you hunt much coming up as a young man?
I didn't actually start hunting till Carlin and I first married, and my dad was a trapper, and I went with him trapping and killed a few squirrels, but an old gentleman by the name of J.C. Thomas got me started hunting, and he was actually my brother's father-in-law, but he was more like a grandfather to me, and he got me deer hunting and turkey hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on my first turkey hunt, and actually I was 34. It was 1974. And I never will forget. I didn't know anything about it at all. He wasn't with me that day, and I sat on a mound and called the turkey up. And, of course, there I was in wide open, and the gun laying on the ground, and you know what happened from there. I didn't kill a turkey.
Yes, sir.
But I was relentless and went back and finally killed a nice longbeard. That was my first turkey in 1974.
You remember anything about the hunt as far as...
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that. What is different from hunting now versus back in 74?
Back then, I didn't know what a decoy was. Had a lynch box call. And before I killed this turkey, I probably saw that turkey half a dozen times. Too far to kill then.
Mm-hmm.
Today, with the ammunition you have today and the guns you have today, you would have been in shotgun range. But back then, he was about 50 yards, and you didn't dare shoot a turkey with a full choke and a 2 3/4 inch shell. Even though it was number 4 turkey shot, they called it, but wouldn't have been any way to kill you. You had about a 20-yard gun, 25-yard gun at the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Goodness. And he came in at that distance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I kind of put a sneak on him, too. I think I did more of a turkey crawl than I did a turkey call that morning that I killed him.
Let me ask you this. Camouflage back in. What kind of camo did you wear?
It was the old Army camo.
That old BDU stuff?
Yeah, that old BDU stuff is exactly what it was. And I think I had a pair of coveralls is what I had back then. But it was, it kind of got me hooked, but then in about 2 years, they closed turkey season. In 76, I think it closed and didn't open back up here until 1998.
Yeah, yeah. And you have, folks, let me tell you, when I walked in, you know, the Hollises are here, they got a beautiful home. And I walked in, and it's got this home feel as soon as you walk in. Wood cabinets, he's got him some brownies that just come out of the oven. Let me tell you something, it is a beautiful, and then you walk around the corner, and I'm going to do you a video here. It's almost like a museum, like a Bass, and I told him, it's like a Bass Pro Johnny Morris style feel that you feel here, because they have not only displays of deer and turkeys. There's a bobcat pelt over there. There's several things, but they're displayed in such a beautiful way. And when I walked in, I knew I was at the right place, and I knew I sat down with the right man.
Thank you, Greg. That's your compliment, but I don't know that I deserve all that.
Well, it is. And I'm going to do y'all, if you don't mind, a video of this stuff because you don't see this type of display.
That's perfectly fine.
So I walked in, Mr. Buddy says, there's my turkey beards right there. And I'm looking for turkey beards just laid out. You got a nice bowl with these. Do you know how many's in there?
No, I don't.
I would say 20.
Oh, it's more than that. It's probably 50 in there.
Okay, well, I wanted to say 50, but I didn't want to overshoot.
There's probably over 50 in that bowl. Right
50 beards, 50 long beards in this bowl. And I'm talking about beautiful paintbrush. Looks like paintbrushes in this bowl. So I asked you to give me some stories.
Yeah.
Your top stories.
I kind of told you about the first turkey I killed. It opened in 98. I decided I had been turkey hunting in Texas a little bit, but that was totally different hunting. Out there, you could hunt with a rifle. Mm-hmm. And I hunted with a .22 mag. I killed turkeys there. I went on several hunts out there and killed quite a few turkeys. It wasn't anything spectacular about any of that. I know they teased me when I got on the bus one day. Everybody else was shooting 243s with scopes on them and had all kind of calls. I had a little old homemade call from Slidell, Louisiana, and a .22 Magnum. And all they teased me, said, oh, here you are. Old country boy's come to town. He's got a pop gun and a homemade box call. I was the only one killed a turkey.
That's right.
I was the only one that killed a turkey. I did call that turkey up, and I remember that hunt very well. I called that turkey up and killed him. And I don't even think I had on camouflage. I think I had on a dark green shirt and a pair of blue jeans.
Yes, sir.
But then up here when it opened in 98, I wasn't going to hunt. My nephew told me, you got to show me how to turkey hunt. I said, well, you probably know about as much about it as I do. And I used that same old Slidell box call. And we were... Probably I located the turkeys 2 days before. We were probably back at the truck in less than an hour with a turkey apiece.
Oh, heck.
Yeah. He shot his, and I was sitting about 50 yards behind him, and one flew over the creek and lit over to the side, and I killed him.
Yeah.
And that was our first turkeys, and I got hooked.
That's right.
Yeah. Couldn't have it from then on. And then I killed quite a few turkeys here.
Yes, sir.
In fact, one year they had, I think it was 1 year alone, they had three. I could probably look back in the records and find that they allowed you three turkeys. I killed three longbeards.
Mm-hmm.
And I killed the limit until we started getting a lot of people hunting. And then the turkeys kind of drifted off. Our population is down here. We had a good population of turkeys when it opened in 98.
Mm.
But we didn't know what turkeys we had, so I was on the board of directors of the club, so we only allowed one turkey. So I killed one turkey, my nephew killed one turkey. And it was one other young man hunting. It was only three of us hunting up there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now you probably got 30 turkey hunters up there. And it's very competitive, and the turkeys with the clearings like they are, the thinnings like they are, they're very limited as to where they are. You can probably go to three places on the hunting club and hear every turkey that we have. I told my old buddy in Kansas, I said, Paige, when I get to where I can't go down on my farm and turkey hunt, you're going to push me down in a wheelchair. I don't give a damn how muddy it is or how much it's rained.
That's right.
He laughed. He said, Hollis, you don't have to worry about it. We'll get you there somehow.
Yes, sir. So, you know, with the turkey, you've been around a little while. You think we've just got a lot of hunters around? Is that what's caused the turkey decline?
No. Well, we had a biologist to come up. They wanted to tag deer up here one time and just look at the range, how far the bucks would range, and they did. They caught several deer. And also Larry Savage, who was a biologist, tagged a few turkeys.
Uh-huh.
And the furthest turkey killed was about 3 miles from where they banded the turkeys.
Okay.
Most of them were within a mile of where they banded the turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
But they got whenever the breeding season starts, they have a pretty good range.
Right.
They will wander.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone and back when I could really walk good, and I've seen them walk the road for over a mile.
Mm-hmm.
I followed them. And but the deer, back to the about our turkey population, this biologist came up, gave us a big spiel. Well, I asked him right there. I said, "Well, what about our turkey population?" He said, "What turkeys?" He said, "You don't have the habitat to hold turkeys,
right?
To keep turkeys,
right?"
He said, "You've lost your habitat." And what's happened? The private land that did have the hardwood on it, most of that has been cleared now. The only thing left is Luter Bottom, and most of that around the edge. It's nothing left but what's in the break.
Yes, sir.
So it's that's hurt our turkey population here, according to that LSU biologist, more than anything.
Mm-hmm. You've hunted all over the country.
Yes, sir.
Where's your favorite place?
Kansas.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
You got a lot of deer in here, too, from Kansas.
Yes, got it. I have, I looked the other day, I don't know if I should tell this on a podcast or not, but it's been 11 deer. I bought that place in 2010. We didn't start hunting until 2011. There's been 11 deer taken off of it. Six of those deer were went over 150. No, 11 went over 150. Six of those deer was over 160, and two of those was 170 and over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's in turkeys. I have a lot of turkeys on that 80-acre farm.
Yes, sir.
I do.
The turkeys up there, they act a little different. What
they
do?
Yes, they are hybrid turkey up there. The biologists say that there's not a true Eastern or a true Rio. They call them a hybrid. And I'll say they do have a lot of Rio in them. They love to gobble, and I love to talk to them. But we got a pretty good combination there.
That's right.
I did kill one turkey up there on a friend of mine's farm down at Latimer that had a 13 1/8-inch beard. But would you believe it was two strands that was 13 1/8? Would you believe in about 2 years those two strands fell out of that turkey beard?
Mm, that's about right.
But it's 12-inch.
Yeah.
So it's still a very good beard.
Absolutely.
And at the time, we were allowed two turkeys. The last 4 years, we were down on turkeys. They had a disease that hit them. They said they had bird flu. And they only allowed us one turkey. But back when we could kill two turkeys, you could kill them both at the same time. It didn't matter. And I've killed two turkeys in one shot several times up there.
Oh, heck.
Oh, yeah. Let them get lined up.
Tell me the best story about shooting two of them one time. What's one of the story that stands out the most?
I guess the story that stands out the most is the turkey I killed on my 80th birthday. My buddy up there was going to film me. And he had a part on a planter that had broken the afternoon before, and he had ordered it. And I noticed him kept looking at his watch. I started calling, and I heard turkeys all around us. Wasn't in my field at all. And he says, you think they come? I said, they'd be here.
Mm-hmm.
They coming. They know who we are. It's just hush. Let's sit down and be quiet. And I kept noticing, looking at his watch. And I finally asked him, "Jerry, do you need to go?" He said, "That part's come in for that tractor, and I need to go put that part on." I said, "I'm going to walk out to the road and call Diane." That's his wife. I said, "She's at work. She can't come get you. You don't have a phone service here. All you can do is text. You can't call. I'll run you home. It's not but 6 miles from here." Well, I carried him home, came back, and the turkey was beating my decoy up.
Really?
Yeah. So I slipped around, got in the bottom, and they were wadded up in a wad. The gobblers, three gobblers. And I started calling to them and finally broke one of them out. And I ranged him. He's 79 yards. I waited. He turned his back to me and shot, and I killed. He didn't even flop. I killed him 79 yards.
Golly.
That's a long way.
That is a shot.
That's TSS number 9. In a 3.5-inch magnum.
So that was 2 years ago, right?
It'll soon be 3 years.
Soon be three. That's right.
Soon be 3 years ago.
Yeah. God, that is a poke.
Yeah, he didn't even flop. He just, he lay there. Yeah. But at number nine, TSS shots is a very good shot.
Yeah. Now you, go ahead.
That's really too far to shoot a turkey. But I wanted to kill him on my 80th birthday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Looked out.
There's no place like home on Lake Darbonne, and nobody knows this better than Union Parish native Joe Booth with Booth Realty. Joe has been serving real estate clients in North Louisiana since 1998 and will work tirelessly to help you buy or sell your property. Trust me, I can't tell you how many fishing trips I've been on with Joe where when the phone rings, the fishing stops. He's also lived on Lake Darbonne for 23 years and will put you in the best place to meet your needs around the lake. Call him today at 318-548-3185 and let Joe Booth guide you home. So you mentioned shooting two at one time.
Yeah.
Tell me how, I mean, tell me how you would work that. Tell me a good story. Okay. That really signifies that's how you do it.
I went out one afternoon, in the afternoon, I sat down, and I thought, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if they're going, it's too early to owl hoot. And there are owls up there. I said, it's too early to owl hoot. So I'll just make a good loud call, yep call, and then just see what happens. Well, he cut me off. I said, well, look here. He's close. That turkey will work. So I would putt to him every once in a while. And about 15 minutes, two of them showed up. And they got there to decoy, where they got to going around my decoy. And when their heads lined up, I pulled the trigger and killed them both. One shot. I've done that several times up there.
Man.
Sure have. But, I like a decoy, but I don't know that it's fair game. But they get mesmerized by a decoy. And I believe you could get up and walk around and they wouldn't pay you any attention.
Well, it takes the focus.
It takes the focus from you. But then I've had them to come in there and up here too and wouldn't be hid well enough. And they would just come in and zero in on me. And just, I never get a shot off.
Mm-hmm.
Never get a shot off.
So that decoy is definitely helped.
Oh, yeah. It keeps them focused. And the decoy was there. They were running to the decoy, but I was sitting directly behind the decoy. And if any kind of movement, they're going to pick it up. But that decoy does keep them focused, and you can be a little more reckless. But I don't hunt on the edge of the field. I get back in the wooded area mm-hmm. where I got cover.
You know, I was thinking on the way over here about turkey hunting and how – you know, as far as game around here, the game that we hunt in the South, even, yeah. It's more like a chess match, wouldn't you say?
It is.
It's whatever he does causes you to do something, which causes him to react. And
yeah, you have to read the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You read a turkey. You know what he likes and what he don't like. And I remember one morning, one of my best turkeys that I killed up there, up here. The first morning I hunted him, my hearing isn't like it used to be. I was set up wrong. He come in behind me. I could hear him drumming. Well, I couldn't tell where he was, so I eased around. Well, naturally, he putted and run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was ready for him the next morning. I said, if you roost anywhere close to here, I'm going to get you in the morning. Well, he did. And I went in and set my decoy up, and I got back 40 yards from the decoy in the woods where I could see the turkey. And all I did was give a few tree limb putts and a light call and never said another word. He hushed. When he hushed, I said, well, he's flying down. It wasn't 5 minutes that turkey was on top of that decoy. Had an 1 3/8 bird and weighed 22 pounds.
Golly.
That was in 2016.
Yeah.
I think Peyton McKinney run him in the Gazette and Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Now, you know, you mentioned the first turkey that you killed.
Yeah.
Did you kill any more turkeys after that, before the 98 season?
In Texas, in Missouri, and in Mississippi, I did.
Mm-hmm.
But not here.
Not around here.
Yeah. No, it was closed here from 76 to 98, but I got to go out there. But hunting was... Now, Mississippi is like hunting here. You kill a turkey in Mississippi, you've earned him.
Mm-hmm. You know, somebody heard that before too. That, and the reason they say that is because there's so many turkey hunters in Mississippi.
It is. And it's wooded area like we have here.
Right.
And in fact, it's more hills and hollers than we got here. And
I can believe that.
I've heard in Missouri, I've heard that you can't call a turkey uphill. I've heard you can't call a turkey downhill. I've called them both ways. And it's not that I'm that good a caller. I'm not. Michael Thomas and Dickie Cole and Joe Pickle, probably the best there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught Michael and Dickie. But I called one in Missouri. I'm telling you, he looked like a black Volkswagen coming down that hill, blowing up.
He was coming.
He was coming. He was coming. And he was a good turkey. He weighed 21 pounds.
Wow.
The first turkey I killed here was weighed 17 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I weigh all my turkeys.
Yeah.
And I killed the two turkeys that I showed you in there. One had an inch and a half spur, the other an inch and 3/8. The one with inch and 3/8 had 11-inch beard and weighed 24 pounds. And he would have gone in the Louisiana record book, but I didn't weigh him on a certified scale.
Ooh.
And that hurt.
Yes, sir.
At the time I killed that turkey, he would have been about number 9 or number 10, something like that. But that's still a good turkey.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Very good turkey.
Absolutely. So, now you told me you're going to go to a 410 this year.
Yeah.
Now, is that because the lightness of the gun? So you ain't got to lug that big gun through the woods?
No, I just want to do it.
Just want to do it.
And it patterns good. I patterned it at 40 yards with a 3-inch TSS, and it has a very good pattern at 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to David Blanton over at the Simmons Buck Contest, and I saw David kill one 45 yards. And I said, you know, I need to get me one of those.
Yeah.
And it has a Jeb's choke. You mm-hmm. know, it's got a good choke in it.
How's the recoil on it?
Oh, you don't even know you shot it.
You know, because there's a lot of people who may want to get your kids in turkey hunting. Yeah, and
that would be a good gun. A little 20-gauge is good. And Carlin, my wife has a Remington 870 pump 20-gauge, 3-inch, and... my nephew's boys have killed several turkeys with that gun. I've killed one turkey with it. I lost the sight on my 12-gauge. So we went hunting one morning. It was about 4 of us went that morning. Michael Thomas was with us. We was in Kansas. And it was already breaking day. And Michael set up a decoy and called. And before the rest of them could get sit down, the turkey was at the decoy and I killed him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
David Repon said, "Who got shot?" I said, "The turkey got shot, David. I just killed the turkey."
You know, I lost a darn good turkey gun in a divorce. I bought her a 20-gauge 870.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was camouflage, that's synthetic stock. Man. And the girl's mama, I told her, you know, I said, "You go ahead and have that. And hopefully one day, you know, at least the girl's going to end up with it."
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, man, that was a sweet shooting 20-gauge.
That one is. That hers is. She's small, so we got the youth edition.
Yep, that's what this one is. And when I bought it, I can't remember who I bought it from. They said, yeah, and it was an older gentleman had it, and he had it for turkey hunting. And that's why I bought the gun, was for turkey hunting. So,
I found this one down at Winsboro.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the guy that owned that pawn shop there, and he ordered it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he let me have it at his cost.
So what's been your favorite so far? Besides, let's just say we're not, because we can't count to 410 yet.
Yeah.
So which one?
Oh, my old 870 pump. It's 3.5-inch mag. It kicks. It kicks hard.
It kicks on both ends, though.
It does. It kills on both
ends. That's right.
It does. I was sitting behind by a tree one afternoon. I'd called a few times. Went to sleep on the side of a hill. I woke up and there was a turkey gobbler looking me in the eye, less than 20 yards. And I thought, if I move, I know what he's going to do. My gun laying on the ground. Well, we sat there and had a stare off. Well, I did move, and he flew. And I grabbed my gun, jumped up, and didn't have it to my shoulder, and pumped it twice, and it turned me yellow from my cheekbone to my collarbone, and loosened two teeth.
Good lands.
Yeah. I remember I was talking to Rodney Denton down at TP Outdoors in West Monroe. I don't know if you know Rodney or not.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He's originally there from Spearsville originally. And Rodney told me, said, buddy, don't ever lean up against a tree and shoot this gun. Said, I know one guy that had a broke collarbone. One had a dislocated shoulder, and another one got a detached retina.
It lands.
And they kick.
Yeah. It thumps pretty heavy.
But it shoots. Mm-hmm. And I have a, when I retired, the guys gave me a Browning Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey Special. I retired in 02. This was the, Jeff Simmons got it for the guy that worked for me. And it was the 01 Turkey Gun of the Year. It has all the insignia on it and everything. But the 870, both of them have 665 aftermarket chokes on them. 870 will put a few more pellets in the target than it will. The turkey won't know the difference.
No.
Because I've killed turkeys just as far with that Browning Gold as I have with that 870. But I guess that's my old gun that I started with, really, and that's the one I really like.
Yeah, that it's hard to beat that 870. I tell people, you know, with a shotgun, when you get a shotgun, it's like an old baseball glove.
That's right.
I mean, it just...
It fits.
It fits. And then when you shoulder it, you don't even have to really look down the barrel. It just... Everything's automatic. Wherever you look, that's where it's going. Right.
Let me tell you what I did. I had a... Got the aftermarket choke. And it wasn't... And I had sights on it, but they weren't adjustable sights. So I called the guy. I called Copy Choke. The first choke I got was an aftermarket choke, was a combi choke. And I called the guy. He said, regardless of where you have my choke or one of the other competitors' chokes, no shotgun barrel is going to be true. He said, you need a sight on there. When you get these aftermarket chokes, you need a sight on there that you can adjust, or you need to make some kind of adjustment. And I bought a slug sights and put on both of those shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
And zeroed them in just like you would a rifle. And it worked.
You know, my dad has he's got a Browning Sweet 16 from, yeah. I mean, it's a sure enough Belgium Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And that dude is a slug shooting. My goodness. It'll sling a slug. Won't shoot nothing. Squirrel shot. And a slug. And the rest of it won't shoot it. But my granddaddy's same year model, 12 gauge A5, is a turkey killing dude.
That's
good. And I saw Dad one time. I drove up, and this is what he used to listen. This is what he used to hunt in. My stepmother had a Chrysler New Yorker. It was white, and he didn't want to get rid of it. He went to trade it in, and the man wasn't going to give him nothing for it. So I'll just keep it. You know, that's how my daddy is. He ain't going to get rid of nothing. He hunted, deer hunted, and turkey hunted in his white Chrysler New Yorker. And I'll never forget, it was one day during turkey season, I had gone and I didn't have any luck. And I drove up on this old clear cut, and I could see that New Yorker sitting on top of the hill. So I drove out there, and here he come. He looked like a pilgrim, for real. The barrel of this gun is so long. And he had that barrel, that gun slung over his shoulder, and he had that turkey over his shoulder, and he coming. And when he put that turkey in the turtle hole, he put that shotgun across the back seat. That shotgun's so long, he had to cant it just a little bit to get the door shut.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, how far was it? I think that one was pushing 70 yards.
Yeah. Wow.
Man, that dude was good. It'll do some damage.
Yeah.
But it's got that long barrel on it.
Yeah, it is. Now these guns, I think the 870, it's backboard. It has a Turkey Special has a 23-inch barrel. The A5 is backboard, has a 24-inch barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And this little 410 has a 22-inch barrel.
That's a short barrel.
That's a short barrel. That's a little bitty gun.
But it holds a good pattern.
Yes, it does.
That's that choke, though.
Yeah, that's the choke. Yeah, I zeroed it in, and I set it up at 20 yards with a 2.5 inch, 7.5. It put everywhere. I couldn't even tell where I was shooting. I had to move it into 15 yards to get the sight right on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then shoot three of those high dollar shells to make sure it was on.
High dollar, you're right.
They are.
But they're worth it.
Oh, they are.
When it's needed.
They are.
When we get done here, I want to take a look at that 410.
Okay.
I want to hold on, look at it.
All right.
Because that's
it's nice.
I've heard a lot about the 410s that are really good. I've never put my hands on one. The only 410 I got was the one I got back in the 80s when it was my first gun, all this, that, and the other.
I got a 410 when Carl and I first married. Sylvis Thomas had a guy that owned a grocery store here, had a little 410 that someone had hawked to him. And he was telling me about it, and I said, I'd like to buy it for Carl and Hug. What do you want for it? He said, $12.50. And I got it today.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah. And she killed a lot of squirrels with that 410 single barrel.
Where, let's see, are you going to hunt this weekend?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hunt 10 mile this weekend.
Okay. What do you think your odds are?
Well, they're probably 50-50.
I was thinking that.
They're probably 50-50. I've roosted a turkey. I finally found a turkey. I roosted him twice. Or not roosted him, but he came off the roost twice. One morning, I was sitting in the truck, and I don't care an owl call with me. I don't care a crow call, and I certainly don't care a turkey call till the day of turkey season. And he flew off the roost. I saw him fly down, and he came within 15 yards of my truck and strutted and gobbled for 30 minutes.
Mm.
15 yards.
And you just sitting there drinking coffee?
I was sitting there drinking coffee the whole time. Sure was. And the next morning, he wasn't quite in the same place, and he didn't come in out in the right of way, but he's in the general vicinity. If I don't have a lot of people coming on me, I'd have pretty good odds of killing that turkey.
Mm-hmm. Now, when are you going to go up north?
I'll leave here about the 10th, and it opens up the 12th.
Okay.
And I'm not going to kill a turkey. I'm going with my nephew and just to be with him. And if he wants me to call for him, I will. If he don't, well, that's okay too. And I've got a deer feeder that throws year round, and I'm going to make a gravity feeder out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, take all the electric. We have so many raccoons up there that they're fascinated by electronics and they tear everything up. They do.
You know, they got one now that raccoon reach in there and touch it. It'll give them a little shock.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Buddy, you got anything else you want to add to it?
Oh, I've had a pretty good years of turkey hunting. I've enjoyed them all. In fact, I had actually rather turkey hunt than I had deer hunt. I'm looking forward to this season, and I guess I'm very optimistic. I'll be 83 at May the 19th, and I bought a 410 this year, and hope that I get a few more years with that 410 just to see if I can. Here, I probably won't hunt with that 410. I'll carry them over standby.
That's right. That's right. What year model is that old standby?
Bought it in 98.
98. That's the one you killed the turkeys with in 98.
Joe Jacobs was having a little get together at, up at Wild Wings, and a guy that worked for me told me, said, buddy, why don't you, here, you need to buy a ticket. I said, Scotty, I've never won anything in my life. But I did. I bought a ticket, one ticket, $20, and they had a drawer. And by the way, Scotty won the competition with an 870 pump. He shot 97 out of 100.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. And I won the gun. And I said, Scotty, I wish I could shoot that good. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll trade you this trophy for that shotgun. I said, no, I think I'll hang on to the shotgun.
What's Scotty's last name?
Scotty Townsend.
Scotty Townsend.
Yeah, he's a very good turkey hunter. He's a good turkey caller. He lives in Morehouse Parish.
Okay.
Used to hunt in Arkansas, but I don't think he's hunting anywhere, turkey hunting anywhere anymore, from what I understand. But he was a good turkey hunter.
Well, Mr. Buddy, let's get on some of these brownies. How about it?
All right. That suits me.
All right. Well, I definitely expect Buddy to get that time on his 83rd birthday, and I know that you guys do too. Now, guys, I know the sound was a little off on this one. I'm working with some new gear, so you guys just bear with me. Go on over to the Antlers and Hicks Facebook page. Make sure to check out the gear that we've got and get you a new hat or a new shirt. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks Podcast, and as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.